A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's a common misconception that therapists have their shit together and all our relationships are perfect.
Which is total bullshit.
I'm Vanessa Bennett, licensed therapist.
I'm John Kim, licensed therapist.
And this is our story.
So what I love about our podcast is if my podcast is in a shot glass, our podcast is in a wine glass.
Mm. Yeah, I like that.
I like that it's just relax, you know. I'm just sipping tea and I usually drink coffee. And we could actually have a conversation without me rushing.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a, there's always a specific thing that we're talking about, but I like a little bit of the meandering. Not meandering like there's no purpose, but just there's a bit of a flexibility in the way we do this, because one thing might lead to another thing, might lead to another thing. And we kind of just like let the psyche take us where it's going to take us.
Meandering is my middle name. It's the story of my life.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay. So we also take real conversations, and that's what the point of this is for it to stem from some kind of truth. So we're not just making shit up. And it's also why we haven't been releasing these weekly. So we're trying to get out as many as we can, but we also don't want to force things.
Right. It's like, let's not look for issues for the sake of looking for issues. Let's talk about things as they come up organically.
Yeah. And also some of them are not going to be issues else we're just going to be
fighting all the time.
Yeah. I don't want every episode to be dissecting a fight, because although others may love that, because we all love listening to other people's shit and, and being a fly on the wall. But this podcast may be what breaks us up.
Yeah, and that would exactly. Be sad. We'd like to stay together. Right. Thanks.
Yeah. So last night we were talking about something interesting. I told Vanessa to have a seat. And when I say have a seat, that means there's something, I want to talk about something serious. And we talked about where we were in our lives, but it started with gratitude. It started with me feeling grateful for so many things that are happening in my life, and then me sharing those with her, getting her thoughts on that. And then it turned into this really interesting concept, which is dropping down into your body and allowing your body to feel what's happening. So we are rewiring our bodies because both Vanessa and I, for different reasons, we have been in a state of fight or flight, even if it's subtle, because of our environment story, all of that.
Yeah, I think, as a therapist, but also as a body-oriented, I would say, therapist that's had a mindfulness practice and a yoga practice for many, many years, I think the idea of embodying not just the work that you've done. So for example, gratitude, and I actually do an embodied gratitude practice in my mindfulness program that I run. So like the good, like gratitude, but also I think it's important to get very familiar with the embodiment, what it feels like from a sensation level of the old wiring. Because otherwise you're just conceptualizing and talking about it from a very kind of like cognitive level. And that's not how we change things. We change things by understanding them, from a cognitive level, yes. And then feeling them on a sensate level, feeling them in a, you know, the sensations in your body. And then we go into integration mode. So that was kind of the conversation we had. And it was both what's the good that I feel in my body and also kind of what's the bad that I feel in my body.
One of the things you were saying was, well, let's just back up a little bit. So, we purchased a house kind of recently, less than about a year ago or less than a year?
No, like 5 months ago.
Okay, 5 months ago. And we did some work on the house. It's a beautiful home. And, you know, we have a beautiful daughter and a couple of chickens. And, you know, there isn't a lot of stress in our lives like there has been for both of us. You know, I'm a late bloomer. I, went back to school at 35, had to start all over. And, you know, I've had shitty jobs. I've had times when I wasn't working and just lots of waking up thinking the sky is falling, right? Being worried, being stressed out. And so for the first time in my life, at least, I feel a sense of calm. I'm not panicked. But there is a part of me, because logically I'm not panicked, but there's still something in my body because it's been conditioned to be in a state of fight or flight for so long that it still feels like it, even though I don't have a reason to panic right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so the work
just say the work. I know you hate that term, but
I hate that term. Yeah. I said it and I was trying to think of, I was backpedaling because I was like, oh fuck, how do I erase this? But, rewiring yourself isn't just a logical thing. I think it's a body thing. And so for you, Vanessa, the question is to bring it back to us now, what is difficult for you when you know logically, you know, it's been, 5 months or so, or even more. I mean, we've been together for almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. What is your mind telling you and what is your body telling you? What's different and why is it hard to lean into it?
Are you asking me in relation to you and the relationship?
My mind is telling me.
Yes, but my body. Yes, telling me
but
no.
My body, my body. Yes. Everything comes back to us in our relationship. That's what this podcast is about.
Well, I think there's probably a lot that I could go into here. I think that, we can think about it again from like a conceptual level when we think about like attachments and stuff like that, like my codependency work. You know, my last relationship was with somebody who was a functioning alcoholic. So a lot of this stuff feels different to me because unbeknownst to me, prior to doing my work, we'll use that term again, that I was
That's the last time we're using that term. There's only, like, we can only say it two or three times. That's it.
It's like saying like, or the more you try to stop it, the more it's going to happen. So just let it be. It's fine.
Well, it's also like, where it can get very annoying. Yeah.
Well, now that's all you're going to hear is the likes and the ums.
It's like the white Prius. Okay, yep. Never mind.
My patterns are things that I now, on the other side of doing a lot of work on myself, understand cognitively, right? I understand them conceptually. Enough to where I've actually consciously chosen different things, different people, different actions, different paths in my life. And that is why my life looks so different now than it did. And there are still moments where things in my body get activated, even in our relationship, that would have gotten activated in, say, my last relationship, right? So I think in a lot of ways, you have provided me safety and a new experience of I can speak up and say things that might not be things that you want to hear, but I'm not going to get backlash for it. I'm not going to get yelled at. I'm not going to get exploded on. I'm not going to get the cold shoulder. I'm not going to get walked out on. And so that experience of safety has changed my internal system in a drastic way. I still feel anxiety around the idea of sharing, but I now have a greater sense of it's okay. You can feel the anxiety and do it anyway. You're not going to die because you've given me that experience.
You told me the example last night that you know that there has been some difference or change was that in the morning, I encouraged you to sleep for a couple hours while I started the, you know, the morning routine with Logan. And you said, me allowing that is proof that I'm leaning into it. Meaning, before that, there would have been too much anxiety for you to let that happen because maybe you would feel that I would, you know, I don't know, drop her or, you know.
It's not even that drastic. It's just that you wouldn't do it the way that I would do it. That in itself for a kind of a codependent.
Which I probably didn't.
I know for a fact you don't. I'm around you all the time. Of course you don't parent like I do. You're not me, right? It would be unrealistic and ridiculous of me to expect you to do things exactly like me. But in my codependency, controlling, control makes me feel safe state, which is kind of my go-to place. That is where I pull from. And so that is a way that I know that I've changed just with myself, but also in this relationship with you, is that, yeah, like 5 years ago, whether it was you or anybody else, the anxiety of you not doing it the way I would do it would have not allowed me to take you up on that offer and sleep in for an hour. And what I also said last night is that
an hour and 30 minutes. Go on. Sorry.
An hour and 30. Okay. Also, what I said last night, is that anxiety is still there. I'm still very aware of the initial thought or the initial feeling of, ugh, you know, he's not going to do the, like, oh, and I said, do you have breakfast for it? Like, do you know what there is for breakfast for her? You know, just making sure that you knew what was in the fridge that you could give her in the morning. That is my initial, that's my gut. That's my go-to. And then I said, like, you're fine. You've got it. Let it be. Right. So I don't know. I think that's a good example of how things can still show up, but they can also feel different through experience. And we can just, I don't know, consciously choose different paths.
So here's what's interesting. What's on the other side of that, right? So if you know logically one thing, but you still have to convince your body and you're working on that by creating new experiences for yourself to let go of the ledge, to, you know, trust, to, you know, all of that, right? So what's on the other side of that, do you think? Meaning, how does our bodies start to rewire from sitting in a new experience? How long does it take? What happens to us? You know, or maybe you don't know because you're also someone who's playing, experimenting with this.
Well, this is, I mean, it's interesting that you say that because this is a very, very like hard and fast belief of mine. That I use a lot in my classes and in sessions with clients, which is, there's no number. There's no like quantifiable, like this is how long it takes. Because I don't believe that it's ever a completed thing on a checklist. Are you yawning at me right now?
No, I'm not yawning at you. I'm yawning with you because, wow. You know, we're both tired. It's 7 p.m.
We do these podcasts. We go to bed at 9. At 7 p.m. after the baby goes to bed. I just distracted me and I lost my train of thought, which is also a sign that it's 7 p.m. I don't know what I was talking about.
It's not colored by numbers. That there's no one fits all.
Well, there's also no like, okay, I've done the work. It's been a week or a month or a year and now I'm better. Like that's not a thing. And I say this to people all the time, and I always say, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm just being realistic so that you can then in that realism, show yourself compassion. Because if you realize that none of us ever just hop on a bike for the very first time and ride off into the sunset, every one of us falls, busts our knees, probably smacks our head over and over and over again until we learn to ride a bike. It's the same thing with this work. Like I'm always going to feel that initial pang of anxiety. I don't know that that's ever going to go away, but it is a drastic difference, marked difference now than what it was 5 years ago.
Yeah. So here's my theory. And it's just a theory because I use myself and my life as an experiment. And I don't know, I don't have enough conclusions yet. It's too soon, but my theory is at least for me, I'm a big believer in states, right? So my state was generally, if I just round it off, it was worry, panic, dread, like 20s, 30s, worry, panic, dread. And I think that in that state, because that's such a low frequency, it prevented me from thriving, because I was just, you know, pushed down, and my body was so used to always being in that state. Logically, I could convince myself not to. Like, logically, I could convince myself of a lot of things, but because my body didn't feel it, you know, that's kind of what I think created my my path. And that path was, you know, it wasn't really good or exciting. It was just kind of, it was very flatline. After my rebirth, after I started working more on my state, after I got out of my head more, dropped into my body, you know, found fitness, started riding more cycles, started doing things under the umbrella of self-care and connecting to yourself, I noticed that my state changed, right? It went a little bit from a lower frequency to just, you know, maybe middle to slowly higher. And I think that once your state changes, that you, and by doing that, you're convincing your body that it's that it shouldn't be in protection mode, that guard should not be up, then there's now room for things like to feel gratitude, expanding in love, all of the stuff that I think raises your frequency. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, then suddenly good things happen in your life because now you're maneuvering on a higher plane, right? And I think this also kind of overlaps this whole idea of a law of attraction, manifesting, and just kind of how energy and the universe works. So that's my theory. And recently in the last year or two, like last year probably was...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
One of the best years of my life as far as things happening in my life, career, personal, everything. And if I can continue to sit in it with my body and convince my body more and more that it doesn't need to panic, that it is okay, that, you know, it is safe and all of that, I think that will continue to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think yes. I think I also believe that theory. And so it's going to be like a yes and. Do you agree that you don't live in that state all the time?
No, of course not. I dip daily. And I tend to at night fall into a little bit of darkness, mildly sometimes get depressed. I could wake up feeling like I won the lottery and go to sleep in panic and worry and dread. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm talking about cumulatively, like if you pull back, if you start like tallying up how many times, you know, I felt dread and worry this month as opposed to when I was 25.
Right.
There's a lot more dashes.
Yeah.
Hashes. There's a lot more hash marks.
Because I know what you're saying without you having to say.
There's a lot more hash marks.
We like to say, I speak John Kim.
Yes. There's a lot more hash marks in my 20s than there is today at 47.
So yes. And I think, and I'm not disagreeing, and I know you actually agree with what I'm saying, which is, I think it's important for people to understand that the more you practice that state, the more you give your body the experience, like I was saying about my feeling of being safe enough to speak up, right? As long as you give yourself, well, I'm not really giving myself, you're actually giving me those experiences, but as long as you're giving yourself those small experiences, and you're seeking out those higher states, you are going to increase your capacity to then experience those states more frequently. And I do believe that in that increased capacity is also where there is more self-compassion, because you become more able to say, it's like you become more able to pull back and see it from that 30,000 foot perspective, where when you do dip, when you're in the dip, it still doesn't feel good, obviously, but you have a bigger, broader view now to say, oh, but this is just what a dip looks like. This is just a dip. This isn't my everyday state. It's okay. It's this feeling of self-compassion, and that act of self-compassion that allows you to pull yourself back out of it. Because if you didn't have that practice, it would be very easy to sink back into that quicksand and get this very kind of like hands thrown in the air, like, well, here we are again, right? Like, life is shit. And then we just kind of get sucked back into it. So I think that's my idea too about this, being realistic about how it changes. You know, will it change forever? Is there a certain amount of time? I just say to people all the time, I'm like, no, like, you're gonna dip, you know, to use your example. And that's normal. You're human. You're not gonna stay in an elevated state all the time. But what's great about this is that your capacity is greater. So you'll pull out of that dip faster.
Yeah.
You'll stay there less amount of time, right? And you'll be able to watch yourself when you're in the dip in a different way. You'll be able to say, oh, this is just a dip.
Yeah. And so we're approaching the third act. So I want to bring it back to relationships. I want to bring it back to us. How does all this apply to relationships? So like for me, I feel like this idea of giving your body a new experience, because in relationships, we are so in our heads, right? So everything from evaluating the relationship to, you know, what we think we need and all, there's a lot of logical stuff happening. But dropping into your body and allowing the experience that you and your partner have created to be a new and different experience that your body hasn't experienced before, and to sit in that can rewire yourself.
It does rewire. That is what rewires, right? Like, that's where integration happens.
Well, because many people think rewiring means
your brain.
Right. So what I'm fascinated with is rewiring yourself through body in relationships.
Well, I think what people need to understand is that rewiring, while it happens in your brain, it only happens when there's integration of the full system.
Mm.
It's not right. Just a brain action. It actually needs to include the full system, or you're only working with one part, and that's not how rewiring happens. So that's why I said in the beginning, it's so important to have that sensed feeling, which is what you're talking about. You can't just think about it from a conceptual standpoint. You have to experience it. Otherwise, it's just a thought. It doesn't become rewiring. It doesn't become part of your brain elasticity, right?
You know, when we first met, one of the things I told you was when you touched me, I felt something different. So instead of telling you a logical story, it was more of a feeling story, a body story, in that when you touched me, and I think I made a joke about it, like called you Reiki hands or something. Mm-hmm. But I feel like
do Reiki.
Yes. And so I thought, oh, that feels different. And I kind of listened to that. And I think that was kind of where the road forked for me, where I tried to focus on a new path, something I would maybe not focus on. But just going by something so subtle, meaning the difference in the feeling of touch and how, so it wasn't like technique. It was just like your touch made me feel different.
Energy.
Yeah, And I'm also,
I remember that word being a thing for you, because you were like, I never used to really talk about this feeling of energy until
right.
now. And that was right. kind of when you started really getting into that kind of understanding.
Yeah. And so, you know, bringing it back to relationships, I think, and this is why I always say that instead of just logically asking yourself if this person is right for you, thinking about what kind of experience you want. Like, what kind of experience do you want for your body, right? Your mind, body, soul, your heart. And when you think about that question, think about it from the perspective of what new experience do you want to give yourself because you want to rewire your body or feel more safe or, you know, go from a lower frequency to a higher frequency. What experience does your body need to have to know that it is safe or the sky's not falling or so it's not re-traumatized?
And can I want to build on that and say, when you're thinking about what new experience you want to give your body, even that to me can feel very, very cognitive. And so I would push even more and layer even more on what you're saying and say, when you're thinking about what new experience you want your body to have, it needs to be, the language of sensation. So if I say to you, I want to feel more safety, that's great as a starting point. Now take it a step deeper and say, what is safety? What would, if you don't know already, what would safety feel like in your body? And so if you're talking about it from the language of sensation, it would be expansion for me, expansion, like no tension. Like I can actually feel a feeling of safety for me. It feels like when my stomach releases and I don't feel clenching in my stomach. It might be warmth in the chest area. Right. So again, talking about integration, it's important that even the language is integrated into the realm of the body.
For me, the tightening in my stomach has to do with eating Cheerios.
Well, stop eating cereal. I've told you a million times.
I think you also have to be open to it, right? So us even being aware of it, because if you're not aware of it, you actually don't allow, you don't notice feeling because you're either in your head or, I mean, it's like you almost have to set the intention to be open to experience
it. It's a practice, right? Like this is not something you and I are both talking about. We're both people who have been doing a lot of this work for a long time. I mean, and again, like I'm a body oriented person. So, you'd be amazed, or maybe you, the listener, would not be amazed how many times I, you know, ask clients like where they're feeling something in their body. And it's like from the neck down, it's almost numb. You know, we do walk around in our heads. That's a very specific thing to Western culture as well. We believe that the brain, the mind is king. And so that's how we've been raised, you know? So this is new stuff for many of us.
So here's a takeaway from this episode, guys, if you're listening. I don't know why I say if you're listening, of course they're listening, because if they weren't listening, they're here. ask yourself how you want to feel in your relationship. Ask yourself what you need to feel that way. What new experience do you, your body, your soul, your mind, like you as a whole being, what new experience, love experience, because we're talking about relationships, do you need to experience for you to be different, for you to love different, for you to be able to let go, for you to expand, you know, to hit the high notes that you've always wanted? Because I don't think love is a logical thing. I mean, yes, we use logic to make, you know, healthy choices and all of that. But when it comes to truly rewiring ourselves, expanding our hearts, you know, this idea of evolving, thriving, growing from the inside out, I think that is a whole body experience. But I don't think it comes with comfort. I think it comes when you sit in discomfort, knowing that it's going to change you in some way, right? So what we're talking about, I don't think is easy. And I think we're aware of it and we sit in it, we allow, and all the shit comes up because, you know, it's like a truck rattling as it goes through the, through the tornado. Like you can feel the resistance. And for many people, they never swim past that. And that's why they get into relationships that are always the same. And they're wondering, why do I date the same type of person? It's because you're giving yourself and your body the same type of experience because you don't want to experience something new.
Right. Or mostly unconscious, but yeah, it's because the unconscious, right? Like what's protecting you, your defenses that have been put in place for a very long time and for very good reason, are calling the shots, right? So this part of this work, part of the idea of integration is that you're making your unconscious conscious. And then once your unconscious is conscious, then you have more ability to make more logical decisions. And until that happens, you're really just acting out of fear. You're acting out of defense.
With you, one of the things that I want, because I feel like we both have a desire, but also perhaps the tools as well. I want to know what's on the other side. I mean, I don't feel like I'm there yet as far as experiencing, a total rewiring. I feel like I'm swimming there, but I don't feel like I've, really sat in it and have sat in it long enough for me to experience what's on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't look at it like that, only because with the realization of how far you've come, it tends to be in moments where like something happens and you either in the moment realize it, or even like a day later go, huh, oh shit. Like I reacted a lot differently to that than I would have 5 years ago. Right. Like it's really hard to kind of measure and say like, oh, well there's the thing I'm swimming towards, and on the other side of it, it'll feel like this.
So it's not, you're saying it's not a finish line. It's not, it's not a reaching an island. Yeah. No, so it's more of an ebb and flow.
Yeah. I don't think there's a finish line. I think this is life. Life is growth. Life is continually rewiring, experiencing, right? And that might be overwhelming to some people. To me, that's exciting. I mean, that's just how I live. I'm a seeker, but,
there isn't a finish line, but there's a tipping point.
Sure. I mean, I think my tipping point in relationship in general could probably be, I'm in this relationship with you. Like clearly for me, I've swum far enough past a breaker, to use your language, to be in a 90 degree different healthy relationship, or 180 degree different rather healthier relationship than what I was in. So if I use that, then yeah, I can measure it that way.
Thank you for giving me credit for my isms.
Yes, you are. You and your isms. But just like the way that I react, I guess my avoidance stuff, or my kind of storyline of like, men always leave or whatever, that of course still gets activated. Going back to what I was saying about it not like being a kind of, here's a magic wand, it's now over. That still gets activated, but I don't fall into the storyline as quickly as I used to. I'm much more able to stand back as if I'm watching a movie in my head and in my body and go, but that's not true. Right. Like I'm able to question it. Like it's outside of myself almost. I mean, sometimes I get caught up, of course, but I think that's when you know that you're swimming past that breaker. Mm.
You said, men always leave. You know why, I won't leave? 'Cause I'm not a man.
That was a poorly timed joke.
Okay. Guys, thank you for listening. And if you enjoy this podcast, you can follow us, and you can, rate us,
write a review
us,
all the things,
write a review, tell a friend about it. Our episodes are going to come out sporadically, and we're not doing this to pull a marketing stunt. We're just, they're going to come out when they come out, and you have to just kind of watch out for them.
Yeah. No consistency in our life these days with a baby. So
ebb and flow, just like growth, guys.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for listening. Be well. Hey, before you go, if you want to engage with Vanessa or I live, we both teach in the TAT Lab. The TAT Lab is live virtual wellness classes, all using Zoom. These are not video courses. These are live groups and classes. A team of experts with lots of experience and also their own stories, teaching everything from healing trauma to Vanessa teaches codependency. We have attachment styles, relationship classes. I do something called Ask Angry, and that is basically a giant check-in. We've got book clubs. We've got meditations. Come check us out at TAT-Lab. That's TAT-Lab.com. And get a week for free and come say hi to me and Vanessa.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.